This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi. Hey, everyone. Hello. Welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Not walking through.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
That's a great line.
And good evening to Don again.
Don't even front. Did I use that wrong?
No.
Or was it the wrong decade?
Don't even
front. It's just, I got to tell you, that's going to be around, I think. Let me hear one more time, Anthony.
Don't even front.
What do we think, Andrew? Not loud, like his usual drops.
Which is what I like about it. But Don, you know how Don is in drop mat. If it's in, it's a 13-14 probably.
He does have dominant teams. Yeah.
It was just unexpected. Tell me what was so funny.
Don't even front.
It's
you're fronting
just,
by saying that.
It's just like you're saying it so confidently. And
you have
also
no idea.
It is like an old term. It's just there's so much that's great about it. Now, I have to bring this up with you guys on the show here. We did something on our show this morning. And by the way, Anthony, can you put in the first 30 seconds, one of you guys, of the audio that I just sent you? Or you know, 30 seconds to a minute, if you get a chance. We did a thing on Ebro this morning called Laura Doesn't Know White People-ish Wednesday.
We've heard about this, yeah.
How'd you hear about it?
Cookies.
You said it last week. Have you lost your mind?
The segment we've heard of, not what happened.
Oh, got it. No, last week. Yeah. But that was the first. That happened organically. This was the first installment. Do you know what I mean? We
not
brought it back.
Yet? Sponsored yet?
Not sponsored yet. Not okay. Sponsored yet. I would like that. I don't know who the appropriate sponsor would be. But
cookies.
Milk.
Yeah, milk. White, and she loves cookies.
Yeah.
Good point. So when we did this on the air today, where I played about 8 different songs to see how she would react, went great. But then I got tweets from people who said, you need to do the same thing in reverse on the K show.
Wow.
And my coworkers were all suggesting songs to me that would be perfect for this. And they all thought you guys would know these songs. And I was explaining to them, I think this is the exact opposite of what we do in the morning. I think these are songs that everyone in black households know that I thought you guys would not know. And whenever Anthony gets a chance, I want to play you the main one that they kept suggesting for some reason.
Might be a lost cause, my G.
And we'll see. But you guys tell me when you have it, and I'll play it for you. In the meantime, in between time, we'll take a brief hiatus from the Yankees for a moment. We'll get back there in a minute. And we'll go to the Nets. Steve Nash was asked if there's any update on Kyrie Irving.
No further update. You know, we support him. We're here for him. You know, if things change and there's a resolution, we're here for him.
I'll tell you what, he's so fortunate he's great, because if he was a middling player, they would say, bye, you're out.
He was asked if Nash was worried if he's worried that he won't have a full team.
You know, I'm not really worrying about anything. We're just trying to work every day. So we came in today, had a great practice. We'll do the same tomorrow, and that's kind of where I leave it.
I think Steve's not telling the truth. I think it's a constant worry of the entire organization. It can derail what should be a championship season.
Or they
imagine
just know
you
that
don't practice at home. You don't play at home. You have to run 2 different offensive sets without the guy. He's your point guard. I mean, come on. Well, I don't worry about it. Okay, I'll play along, Steve.
Well, yeah, that's just typical coach speak, right? I only worry about what I can control, or I don't worry about now. They're banking on that he'll pull a Wiggins and he'll eventually get vaccinated. But the
problem
is,
he ain't Wiggins.
Yeah, I understand that, but I do think it's the same situation. Is he going to walk away from that money? I think he takes his stand, and then eventually, you know, he got his attention. There's still plenty of time. I'm not saying he'll be ready for opening day, but I don't think that's necessary to him. He will be in net and will play at some point.
All right, so here's my hot take.
Okay.
Unless the rule has changed, he will not take the vaccine, and he will not play at home. Maybe he's hoping for some litigious solution, but I don't think he's going to take the vaccine. 97% of NBA players have taken the vaccine, according to Michelle Roberts, the head of the Players Association. The other 3%, if they haven't done now, I don't think they're doing it.
You never know. You never know.
Let's hope, but we'll see.
All right, you guys ready to hear if you know the song that everyone was suggesting you would know?
Sure.
It'll be brief. Calm down. Don't get mad at me. We'll be right back to sports, your precious sports. Here we go. Go ahead, Anthony. Ringing a bell here?
Yes.
It sounds familiar, but I wouldn't tell you what the name is. Don, you know?
I don't know. Do I have to name the song? I couldn't.
No. No, that's not it. You just have to know the song. You don't have to know who it is.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
It's.
Is it by whoever did Turn Me On? I'll know the artist when you say it. I've heard that song before, yes. Absolutely.
All right, good. Never Too Much by Luther Vandross. You know it.
Yes.
All right, one for one. You don't have to.
Game.
Oh, it's a great game.
No, but okay. But unless we know what the song is, we don't know.
Well, no, Mike, you're out. Michael, I would say you're out. I think you were sort of lying when you just said, "Yeah, it sounds familiar." Don,
well, how dare you? How could you say I lied? You don't know if I lie. You
Don
have no
seems
idea
to have sincere recognition. The key would really be if we were playing this properly. Would be to let it get to the chorus and see if you actually know it when you get to the chorus. Like, for example, when we did it today with Glory Days, and it got to the chorus, and Ebro started singing, and Laura was just staring blankly because she had never heard
I will
it once.
Know it's right there. I will be able. I think I could sing along with the chorus if you played it.
That's the real test. Can you sing along with the chorus? I'm not grading anyone on knowing. There's no style points here.
So I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I'm a big Styles fan, but. Does she live in a cave? She didn't know Glory Days?
That's the point of the bit, Michael.
I understand, but the bit works because she's clueless.
No, but the point is, you didn't know Never Too Much by Luther Vandross.
But I'm sorry, Glory Days was a number one song for a long time, off a number one album for a long time.
When she was four.
Yeah.
No, she's got to come out and play.
You're missing the point here.
No, I know.
Don, you understand what I'm saying, don't you?
Yeah, because I think sometimes we get caught up in that there's a world we live in and there's a world outside of that. Not just the world of where you grew up, but the time in which you grew up. Michael, that Glory Days came out in 1984. I was 16. You were, 23. So that's right in our wheelhouse. You know, but for somebody that was, I don't know, how old is Laura?
She's a few years younger than me. 39-40.
Bill me a buttercup for her next Wednesday.
That's not a fair comparison.
Why?
Bill me a buttercup. Everyone knows Bill me a buttercup.
Well, I bet you
probably.
Laura
but by the way, God, why do you bring that song up so much? I would be good if I never heard it again.
Well, yeah, because now they've overdone it with all the Geico commercials. But it's always been my song.
But
it's my go-to.
But even before Geico, a lot of the percentage of people that knew that song knew it for Something About Mary.
Right. But I didn't know about that. I just loved the song. I sang it at my wedding. So back off, Peter.
Well, listen, no, I'm just trying to explain the point to you because you say you understand the game, but you don't. The point of the game is I get flabbergasted that they don't that my coworkers don't know these songs. But the truth is, you know, Laura's Latina. She said, name a Celia Cruz song.
But
I wouldn't be surprised.
You're talking to me like I'm a blockhead. I know the game. I get
but,
it.
But no, but when you turn around and you go, no, it's not the same because she should know Glory Days. But you don't know Luther Vandross, Never Too Much. You're saying there's a difference because one is more common. What I'm saying is they're not. It's not that one's more common. These are songs that are essential to people in different groups from different backgrounds.
Well, I've got something to say about this.
Go ahead. Pipe down.
Take a walk.
Thank you. Don, thank you. I appreciate you playing along. Don, you know what? Don, we should have you come on the K-Show and play the game in reverse. You get the game.
Yeah.
The K Show or the Ebro Show?
Sorry, you're on the K Show every day. The Ebro Show. But my coworkers saying they're like, no, Don's gonna know stuff. Trust me. I was like, guys, just because Don sings Method Man once a year doesn't mean he knows everything you think he knows. Okay. But people have a lot of faith.
You have to know the name of the song because there's songs I like that in a moment, but I remember the exact name of the song. But you kind of go on the honor system. I knew that song. And
I'm kind of curious about one thing.
Here we go.
Does Ebro think I'm cool or not?
What? Who cares?
Yeah. I do.
Does he think
he's the only cool thing on that show in the morning?
Does he think you're cool?
Yeah.
I don't think he knows you well enough to know if you're cool. I think he respects what you do. No, he knows that you're a big deal.
Forget it.
I think that's it. By the way, my friend Kaz, who does a wonderful job hosting on MSG PM every night, you can watch him break down all the Knicks and everything sports on MSG. Kaz just wrote me and said, "Two Americas. How do you not know Luther?" And that's the thing. That's the whole thing. I played Paradise City by Guns N' Roses today, Don. It's all right on my Instagram, Rosenberg Radio. I played Paradise City. Shawnee, our board op, looked as if I was banging pots and pans together. He had no idea what he was listening to. As the opening riff of Paradise City starts, which to me is like...
Front. Yeah, but...
It's crazy.
And I'm not even a fan of Guns N' Roses, but like I can't imagine somebody not knowing that song. But that's the problem. You know, there's a world outside my own.
That's right, Don.
When you say that's the problem, are you looking broader scope? It's a problem in the world today?
Yeah, because I think
Americas.
No, but
that's right.
No, but wait a minute. I think there's something wrong if I think that my world is the world, that is a problem.
I believe that Laura Stiles not knowing Glory Days is a real problem.
Cookies.
Okay. Well, you should talk to her about it.
I'm
going to tell her this tomorrow. All right, guys, let's continue on. There's a lot going on in the world
shall
of sports.
We?
Yeah, I think we shall. Remember when Matt Nagy said that he was asked if he would stick with Justin Fields no matter what, if Fields was winning? Let's hear the question back on September 22nd.
When Andy is healthy, he's our starter. And then I go back to for Justin. Justin's worrying about right now, and Justin's worrying about
right,
trying to help
ahead.
Us beat
that
Cleveland.
Was a couple of weeks ago. Let's jump ahead to earlier today.
I told you the last couple of weeks we've had some good conversations internally. It's helped us in the last couple of weeks. Continuing that process this week, it's led to making a decision to move with Justin as a starter.
Okay,
you know, we've
it.
Been
Thank
patient with
much.
This. We've grown with him.
Can I translate?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Conversations internally means I am now being told who to start.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That is a good translation.
And Aaron Boone just said, hold my beer.
You know what? I don't know.
Or as people suggested, without the hat, he's Johnny Knoxville.
Who?
Yeah, well, you really, you made me
Nagy?
Think of that. It was amazing. If you see Aaron Boone without his hat, it's like a doppelganger of Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, which is not, which is, I think, a compliment. Johnny Knoxville's a good-looking guy.
He's very good-looking
guy. A lot of scars.
Well,
probably. Hold on. Aaron Boone. Wow. It's funny because I don't even know if I can find a picture of him with no hat, but I can already picture it.
Well, just the other day when he did the press conference at Fenway on Monday, he didn't have a hat on.
I know, but when you do a Google image search for him. Oh, there you go.
Front.
Here's one. Yeah, he does go pretty Knoxville.
Yeah. A handsome guy.
I'll tell you what, man. I just want to say it right now as you nasty Yankee fans are ready to pounce on all things Aaron Boone and Garrett Cole after last night, and I already gave my spiel earlier that if you wake up today angry at Aaron Boone and Garrett Cole, you are fundamentally misunderstanding the problems with this team.
Well, the one thing that I
go ahead.
I mean, you could be mad at Garrett Cole.
No,
he
no, no.
pitch well.
You could
but
be
I
mad
don't understand
at him.
Why? What
but he's
Aaron
not the
Boone
problem
wrong
with
yesterday?
The team.
You know what? I mean, what did Aaron Boone do wrong yesterday? He pulled his $36 million starter in the third inning. No one thought he would do that. And he did it, and it was the right move. Aaron Boone was handcuffed. He didn't have enough players yesterday. His cleanup hitter was Joey Gallo. Yesterday was not on Aaron Boone.
I 100% agree with you. It was not. And let me clarify on Garrett Cole. You have every right to be mad at him for his performance yesterday. But if you think he's the thing you need to change, or his contract is what you need to lament, you are not looking at the Yankees clearly. That's not the issue.
That guy is a keeper. If you have 26 guys just like him, you're going to win championships. That's how great this guy
is. And it just goes to show how little all of us know, too. I mean, think about a year and a half ago, even just a year ago, after last year's playoffs still, how quickly people were ready to move on from Giancarlo Stanton. This is 2 years straight now. It may only be a one-game sample this year, but in the last two times the Yankees were in the playoffs, Giancarlo Stanton was the biggest stud on this team.
Yep.
And last night, 6 to 8 feet were the difference between Giancarlo Stanton single-handedly winning that game for the Yankees. He was all over it last night. Well, what are you going to do? Aaron Boone was asked about his future as Yankees manager. Quote, "We'll see. I haven't had any conversations about my contract with anyone. Whatever does happen, I'm at peace with it. I know that I can hold my head high." Well, we'll see, guys, because it does feel like right now people want heads to roll, and people mistakenly think his head is the one to roll, but really he wasn't the one. Aaron Boone ain't walking through that door to bat after Giancarlo Stanton last night.
And was it Buster only tweeted, take out last year because there was only 60 games. In the three full seasons, he has averaged 98 wins.
I think he's only the second manager ever to make the postseason his first four seasons. He and Mike Matheny. Ever.
Speaking of good-looking guys.
Matheny is a handsome guy.
So, but that's not what the Yankees are about. You know, it's not what they talk about. It's not what their fans talk about. They want to see championships. They want to see World Series appearances. And correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, they are right now in the midst of their longest drought between World Series appearances.
Let's see, 76 to 81. Well, 78 to 81, so that's 13 years. It's still not the longest.
Well, it will be, you know, going into next year, they'll be close, right?
Mm-hmm. Why you got to be a hater?
No, I'm not being a hater. I'm saying these are things Yankee fans tell me, Michael. I'm not holding them to this standard.
You don't have any friends.
The Yankees hold themselves
to
this standard.
You have no friends that are Yankee fans. None.
That's not true. Steve Dubinsky's out in California. He listens to the show all the time. He was texting me constantly during the course of the game. I grew up
with him. Michael, did you hear from LD at all during the playoffs?
Nope.
Oh, see,
the playoffs, it was 3 hours and 11 minutes.
Like, flush.
The playoffs.
What a great comeback. But during the season, though. A lot
in the
of ups
lead
and
up
downs.
To the playoffs. Nothing?
I think he might have texted me maybe twice. One time he texted me about a joke I told on a game.
Really? Okay. What'd he say?
The grounds crew was out, and I said they're putting the drying agent down. And like most agents, they soak up 10% and do absolutely nothing. And he wrote back, he goes, "What a brilliant line!" Exclamation point. Ha ha! Nice line.
Well, guess what? You got to put in a little call to LD because the show's back in 3 weeks.
Maybe he's going to have a big reveal again at the YMCA.
The Y, not the 92Y, not the YMCA. Okay.
But that's exactly what it is.
I know, but the 92Y, it has a different cachet than him just showing up to a YMCA and putting a TV in the shower.
Well, I didn't say he'd be in a sauna like with a Indian headdress on. I just said he's going to be at the YMCA on 92nd Street.
Peter, Michael's relationship with Larry.
Go ahead.
Friend or friend to Jace?
Friend to Jace. But a great friend to Jace, you know.
But interact. Wasn't it beautiful?
Listen, the truth is this. You know, I've lived an interesting life of being a confidant at times of huge celebrities. Mm-hmm. It's always friend to Jace.
Yeah.
Because celebrities of that level, of that ilk, thought of as literal geniuses who shift culture in America. And that's where Larry is.
And me, too.
I met both of you. They can think really highly of you and love you, and you can have moments of connection. But ultimately, different things will pull them different directions. And it can be like, we were so tight for a time, and then you don't hear from them for a decade.
Two is also the number of text messages I've gotten in the last 6 months from Q-Tip.
So you're trying to say that you and Q-Tip. to answer Don.
Go ahead.
Yankees have now gone 12 straight seasons without reaching the World Series. That's their third longest drought in franchise history. 17 straight seasons from 03 to 20, and 13 straight from 82 to 95.
You know what? I'm sensing I have so much more ENN. We should do more after the break.
You think so?
Yeah. Don't we need an update on Urban Meyer?
Yeah, we do. But before we
not
break,
walking through.
Before right. we break. It's time for Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey.
Go ahead.
Cardinals, Dodgers, tonight. You hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN.
That's a Boog
Wainwright
vehicle, right?
Against Scherzer. A Boog vehicle?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It should be a Boog Chris Singleton vehicle.
Yes, it is.
Vehicle.
Yes, it's a Boog. It's a Boog vehicle, I'm told. And there's no better vehicle than a Boog vehicle. And you can hear it right here. We are the home, by the way, Don, of the Major League Baseball playoffs.
And?
Including the World Series.
World Series.
That is Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time.
That's
Please
right.
Please enjoy responsibly. More ENN when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, wow. ENN continuing. As Andrew is coming up with great suggestions for me to play for Laura Stiles next Wednesday. Good stuff. And we continue on this ENN on this post-mortem for the Yankees on Wednesday, October 6th. Marcus Stroman weighed in on the Yankees, of course, on Twitter, at Stro. Yankees could have been dangerous if they got in. Stanton was unreal in the second half. Judge was an MVP-caliber player all year. Urshela is unreal. Bullpen was pretty filthy all year. In the end, just needed some more quality starting pitcher depth.
Now, I don't want to get on the wrong side of Marcus because he'll accuse me of terrible things, but no. That was not the Yankee problem. The Yankee pitching was extraordinary all year. That they thought that was going to be the problem. It was the offense that was the problem. Their pitching was great.
Well, and also,
did they have big names? No, but their pitching was outstanding. It had nothing to
do
with
it. But also,
it
doesn't
pitching.
Make sense. The night that any team in baseball would have started the same man. Any,
right.
You know, unless you're trotting out a Jacob deGrom or maybe you feel as good about Scherzer, whoever it may be, short of one or two other people in the sport, they had the pitcher last night and he lost.
But you
so
know
the
what
tweet
Marcus
didn't make sense.
Doing? You know, well, it does make sense because Brian Cashman said he didn't acquire Marcus Stroman from the Toronto Blue Jays because he doesn't think he's a difference maker. And Marcus didn't like it, and I don't blame him for not liking it, so he's held a grudge, and he put that part in the tweet, but it just wasn't true. If he's a big baseball fan. I thought he broke down the game really nice yesterday. I was following him, but bottom line is that was not their problem. Their pitching was – their starting pitching, the ERA was good. They gave them innings. Their bullpen turned out to be great in the last month and a half of the season. They didn't hit. That was their problem. Now, Marcus can hit, too, but I don't think that's why the Yankees would have gotten him.
No, right, because he wouldn't have been able to hit. And, all right, maybe you would have picked up an extra win and had that game at Yankee Stadium. You weren't catching the Rays.
Well, who's their fifth pitcher, Don? Nestor Cortez, right?
Yeah.
I think they were 12-4 in Nestor Cortez's start. Nobody would have been better. Nobody.
Right. So the point, he was trolling the Yankees.
Of course
so
he was.
We can get and into whether he was right or wrong.
Specifically, Cashman.
In his assessment, but he's got to learn to let things go. I got to tell you, I love the way he pitches. I love him in the post-game press conference. He says all the right things. I almost hate just Twitter. On Twitter. And if I were to talk to him and say, listen, I'm a fan, I love you as a pitcher and everything, just why on Twitter do you become this different guy? Why do you feel like you got to troll the Yankees? You're a free agent. You know, go prove him wrong on the field, which I think you can make the case maybe he did by the way he pitched for the Mets. He might have been the Yankees' second-best starter. Maybe with that run support, he could have been maybe a 15-16-game winner. But why do you have to do that? You say all the right things in public. You say all the right things on the field. Why on Twitter do you feel like you've got to be this guy?
Now, following the loss, Aaron Judge talked about his uncertain future. He'll be a free agent after the 2022 season. He was asked whether or not this offseason is crucial to determining his Yankees' fate. I guess you can say that, he said. I haven't been asked that yet. I want to be a Yankee for life. I want to wear these pinstripes for the rest of my career and represent this great organization and bring a championship back to the city. You never know what the future holds for you. It's kind of out of my hands. All I can really do is continue to show up here, continue to try to lead these guys and give all I can for this team and this city every single day. Whatever happens on the flip side of that, with contracts and this and that, getting traded, it's out of my control. All I know is I control what I can. Just going to continue to bring it, be a good teammate and a great leader for this team.
He's been all of that. I mean, what a tour de force season for him. He's going to finish in the top five in the MVP. Nothing bad you could say about Judge. And if he didn't have COVID, he would have played in about 158 games. He was amazing.
I will stand by that he has done enough. If they want to wait till next year and then pay a bigger tax after next season, I'm fine with that too. But short of something crazy happening next season, I just do everything to keep him. I know Chris Carlin's had his moments where he's absolutely disagreed and think you'd be crazy. The guy was an MVP-level player this year. And frankly, when they assess what they need to do, moving forward, as I said earlier, it's not looking at Garrett Cole, it's not looking at Giancarlo Stanton, it's not looking at Aaron Judge.
But if he has another one of those playing in 100 games because he tweaked this or tweaked that, you've got to really wonder. Well, I don't know if there's a world I give him 7 years at 30, 31, right?
Yeah.
When he becomes the free agent. Peter, that's the hardest part. The end of the year, if he gives me another great season of health, because I know he's going to be good if he's healthy, that's never been the question. Then now you're talking about that he has changed that whole narrative with two straight healthy years. But are you going to have that same opinion if he plays in 100 games next year and spends two stints on the IL and becomes the player that he was between like 18, 19, and 20, where he spends 35-40% of the season hurt?
If you look at his injury, though, Don, they're not like freaky injuries. Like they're not muscle pulls. And I mean, he broke his rib diving for a ball. His hand got broken on a pitch. It's not like interviews that would injuries that would say that he's soft. He's just had unfortunate injuries.
I'm not suggesting he's soft, nor were Peter and I suggesting that Carson Wentz was soft when Andrew had the exact same opinion that you're having right now. There's not one nagging injury, but when you get a bunch of them and the seasons pile up, you begin to wonder, all right, well, and especially with not having the DH as an option for a good portion of whatever contract you give him because Stanton's going to be there. Like you said, is he somebody you want diving after balls in the outfield? Or are you like, I'll give him 7 years and I'll settle into him maybe the last four being a DH? Well, you might have the ability to do that if Stanton's still on the team.
Now, a couple of people have texted me and DM'd me and said that they interpret Marcus Stroman, what he said, as pitching for the Yankees to sign him. He's very complimentary of everything about him, but, I mean, the end of his hypothesis was essentially incorrect. Their pitching was fine.
Let's move on to the Nye Giants, if you will.
Sure.
Andrew Thomas on the list of players unable to practice today, guys.
He had a really good game last week.
That's right, and Daniel Jones was asked about Thomas's importance.
Has a huge impact on me, on everyone, I think, and he's played great, no secret about it. I think when you turn on the tape, he's shut down pass rushers, and whoever he's gone up against, he's played really well. So big credit to him. It's a huge, you know, it's the ultimate team game, and that's an important position, and he's played well.
He was also asked
over there, right?
Sorry?
I guess Solder would move over if he can't play.
Oh. Dear God.
Thank you for the drop. I was having a moment where I didn't want to say what I was feeling.
Not walking through.
Because I just, well, that's the problem, is people will be walking through. And that dear God drop got exactly to what my concern is, if that's what happens.
But isn't that seven number? That's just a weird number to me.
Sorry?
The Cowboy number them favored by seven.
Where's the game?
In Dallas.
You mean it should be more?
It just feels like one of those bets where you're like, oh, the Cowboys should be able to cover that. And
Well, but that's that. Here's what happens, Don. People bet that game thinking just the Cowboys are a better team than the Giants. You forget that these divisional games are not like other games. They're just not. We're going to turn on that game, and at least for a while, it's going to appear like it's closer. And then in the end, we'll see where it ends up. But I think those lines are easy to get people because you think seven, Cowboys home? But I can see the Giants playing well there, especially with the fact that the Giants' offense is picking up a bit. You know how I feel about a fast turf in Arlington, Don? Fast turf down there, buddy. Let's get Saquon going.
It's a fast turf for the Superdome, right?
Worked out pretty well. Let's see. Daniel Jones was also asked about Jason Garrett and said it's unfair to critique Garrett's offense.
I certainly don't agree with it. I think when you watch the tape and you turn it on, you know, when you watch other offenses, you know, I don't think that's a fair conclusion to draw from comparing different schemes. I think more than anything, it's been about us executing it and taking advantage of some of those plays that have been there. I thought we did a better job on Sunday, so we've got to continue to do that. But I think the opportunities have been there, and I think the stuff we're doing on offense has kept defenses on their heels.
Now, we keep saying it and saying it and saying it, but we don't recognize it as a part of our analysis that September is glorified preseason, right? We always, Steve Young reminds us of it. But yet when we analyze things, we never take into consideration that is it possible the reason they were so conservative? Is it possible why they made so many mistakes is because those first 3 weeks were kind of an extension of the preseason and that now maybe – they've opened up the playbook because everybody's now on the same page. Week four, week five, week six, things will get better. Remember, they hardly play in the preseason, only three games. Daniel Jones only appeared in like a half of the last one. Not making excuses, but is that something we need to consider if the Giants continue to get better?
It's reasonable. That's why it pissed me off so much, and I put it on my bulletin board. That Rex Ryan said about Washington football team. You know, they stink. The way I looked at it was, Don, I think of Steve Young all the time. September's preseason. The way I looked at it, Washington got out of it 2-2. If you can escape 500 after that month of preseason, I like it. I feel pretty good. Giants should be 2-2. They're 1-3, but moving the right direction. So, yeah, we don't know. Urban Meyer says he's never considered resigning.
Of course not. He wouldn't get the money.
So after that video went viral showing him dancing with a woman at his restaurant and bar in Ohio, he apologized again. He apologized to his players. He apologized to staff. He's apologizing and apologizing. He has been reprimanded by Shad Khan, who said the coach needs to regain the team's trust and respect.
Not happening.
I had at least three or four conversations with Shad. The message is loud and clear, and I agree with it. Man, it must. What an oddball spot. You know, head coach of a team is like this weird alpha boss position. And to be now made to be like, I mean, he's being publicly castrated.
That's better than privately.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Much better than literally.
You know what, Don? Best thing you said all day. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday, October 6th.
All right, coming up is the big fella. He's going to have the hour before the big National League wild card game right here on 98.7. So stick around on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.